All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM. Welcome back to Green Left Radio, and we are joined by Kerry Bryan. Kerry is a long-time housing activist that has been involved in campaigns against the demolitions of public housing and against the kind of Victorian and Federal Labor Party's lackluster at best public housing policies. So welcome to the show, Kerry.
Good morning, Jacob. Thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, so, yeah, the first kind of question is, last week, Kerry, a report was produced by the Victorian Ombudsman into complaint handling in Victorian social housing. And I guess among the findings was a very neglectful kind of lack of maintenance. And could you give, I guess, a bit more information about that report?
Yeah, sure. Firstly, it's entitled Investigation into Complaint Handling in the Victorian Social Housing Sector. And firstly, Jacob, I'd just like to put her report into a broader context. And that is that it did take the Ombudsman's Office some time to understand the depth of the problem tenants were having in getting their issues addressed. So I think it was a bit of a learning curve for the Ombudsman. But if I can just briefly outline my own experience back in 2019, it wasn't that great. Basically, me and my neighbour wrote to the Ombudsman complaining that our estate hadn't been upgraded for 20 years. And by upgrade, I just mean a refurbishment where it's basically where they have to look at, you know, flooring, carpeting, kitchen cabinetry, painting, and those kind of capital works maintenance, which requires a fair bit of expenditure. They used to do it on a 12-year basis. Unfortunately, they don't do that anymore. So, as you'd be aware, estates are being left to neglect and people just have to lobby for their own maintenance. Anyway, we wrote to the Ombudsman at that time, and unfortunately, her office just kind of accepted the flimsy and absurd excuses given by the Department of Health and Human Services. So that wasn't such a great experience at that time. But since then, I think in 2020, the Greens started to campaign for a public housing ombudsman because they knew the extent of these problems was absolutely critical. And then Deborah Goss, the ombudsman herself, she conducted an investigation into the terrible tower lockdown in 2020 where nine public housing high-rise estates, the tenants were basically held captive for 5 days or more, and she wrote a damning report about that. And then after that, last year she put out a call that her office wanted to hear from public tenants about their unaction complaints. So that's just to give you some background of the context. And now I'd just like to give you briefly some of the findings from the snapshot of her report. And so Deborah Glass writes that we were told of properties in dire need of repairs and woefully understaffed local housing offices. People worried about the lack of maintenance making properties unsafe and dangerous neighbours not being dealt with, but most commonly that nothing happened when they tried to complain. Excuse me, I'll just take a sip of water. I'm just getting over COVID. And then she goes on to reference Hannah's story, and this was also published in The Guardian a couple of weeks ago. Basically, Hannah was forced to cook in the lounge room on an electric fry pan because she had no electricity in the laundry or the kitchen. And unfortunately, this meant she couldn't wash her kids' school uniforms. So unfortunately, child protection started to get involved. But nevertheless, the problems at her property weren't fixed until her daughter was electrocuted. And Miss Glass knows from advocates that her report doesn't even tell the full story. Some tenants are fearful of reprisals if they speak up. Others are unaware of their right to dispute official action or inaction. And I would argue That's why we need Consumer Affairs to start up the workshops that they used to fund. They were run by community legal centres to explain to tenants, both public and private, how to breach your landlord and how to represent yourself at VCAT. And I do think that us public housing tenants, myself included, we really could be using those formal tenancy processes more than we actually do, and that might help things to move along a bit quicker. Also, Ms. Glass goes on to express concern that whilst the big housing build is welcome, much of the $5.3 billion will go to community housing providers, yet their complaints mechanisms are inferior to those in public housing. She's described people's experience of the community housing complaint system as a patchwork subject to individual providers. So in other words, there's no consistent framework or set of policies and practices across the sector. And overall, she found that both public and community housing complaint systems are complex, confusing, under-resourced, and in many places ineffective and inconsistent. And she realises this won't surprise anyone. Now, in response, she's proposed a single two-tiered system for all social housing complaints based on the principle of local resolution, central escalation. So in Tier 1, frontline staff will continue to handle complaints, but with superior training and support than currently. And Tier 2 would be a single external escalation point for all unresolved housing grievances to a proposed new social housing ombudsman. And she believes that early resolution would greatly reduce the pressure on VCAT's tenancy list. And there's just a couple more points from her report, and then I'd like to respond to some of what she says. Advocates would play a critical role in assisting renters and housing officers throughout both tiers to ensure the system is renter-focused. Now, I'm not sure, maybe she goes into more depth in the body of the report, but I'm not sure whether she means, you know, advocates employed by the government or through housing NGOs. I'm not really sure. It's not clear. But she says in the interim, a social housing ombudsman could quickly be established within the Victorian Ombudsman's Office, and I think that's fair enough. Also, and these are important points, in order for this overall plan to work, funding for housing complaint handlers is needed and legislation to confirm the Ombudsman's jurisdiction over community housing providers. Community housing providers should be subject to Victoria's Charter of Human Rights, and the government should consider including in that act a right to housing. And I totally support that because at the moment, Jacob, you might be aware, this spate of redevelopment continues. You know, not only do we have the 11 from the Public Housing Renewal Program, but they've started on a whole bunch of other estates where tenants don't have any human rights at all about, you know, why do they need to relocate? Is their housing really in a bad way? And this is, it's very traumatising for people to be told that they have to move out of where they've been living. You know, it's their home for the last 30 years. So that, I think, is a very conspicuous example of the need to enshrine the rights of public, private and community tenants in the Human Rights Charter. And also, I think if she's referred to a social housing ombudsman, so they would need to have two distinct streams to deal with both public and community housing. And also, for the reasons I've just outlined, that you know, people don't have any say over their housing, even though they're paying rent, ideally, this ombudsman or commissioner or regulator should have the power to instruct or issue directives to the state government, particularly due to the spate of redevelopments which stomp all over the human rights of public tenants. Okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for that, Kerry. I think it's been, yeah, that's been a very kind of informative kind of response to the guest, the kind of first question. And I guess the next kind of kind of important kind of discussion point is going to more kind of some of the more general kind of things, you know, as someone who is a public housing activist. And I guess what do you kind of think the lack of government response says about the way that the government thinks of and treats public housing? And what, you know, what would the ideal policies actually be in terms of addressing this whole housing crisis?
Well, just to answer that firstly, the ideal policy would be to actually build public housing. I mean, if you want to have me on another time, we can talk about, you know, what is happening with the big housing build and all the other redevelopments. But basically, they're only building 10% more housing on any of these estates, including the ones that they've started. They've earmarked recently. So the point I want to get to is that they're actually, it's pretty clear to me, they're not even trying to alleviate the extent of homelessness in Victoria or the public housing, the social housing waiting list, which includes, you know, public and community housing. Now it's lumped into the one thing, and that waiting list is over 50,000 applications, which represents over 100,000 people. Basically, what we need is a very, very big public housing program, and we need to normalise it so that it could also be accessed by the working class. But as far as I just want to also address the lack of government response. Jacob, it's actually been 2 weeks now since Deborah Glass, the Victorian Ombudsman, released the report we've been discussing this morning, and yet the new housing minister, Danny Pearson, he hasn't had a response so far. And I checked his media releases yesterday and there was still nothing. Unfortunately, also, it hasn't been reported on in The Age or the ABC. There was just that one story in The Guardian that I referenced. And also I'd like to say about the lack of government response, I mean, you could argue that it's all intentional and deliberate, because by reducing public housing to a basket case, by just ignoring all the complaints and leaving everything to deteriorate, because, you know, there's quite a lot of superficial deterioration where places are just neglected on the outside, but what we do know is that structurally the majority of public housing estates were built, you know, using very solid materials, and they will last a very long time. But it seems that the government's intention is to reduce public housing to a basket case. And can I just say that in relation to that point, since the creation of the new entity a couple of years ago, Homes Victoria, the scenarios Ms. Glass has reported on have only gotten worse. Now, while it's not clear to me what the demarcation is between Homes Victoria and the new department, which is the Department of Families, Fairness and Housing, it appears that Homes Victoria has been set up as a kind of real estate vehicle, as we can see from all the recently announced redevelopment. And it seems that Homes Victoria aren't particularly interested in running the public housing system. They seem keener on bulldozing it and redeveloping it as community and private housing. But we tenants want to ensure that the business of running the public housing system stays within the Department of Families, Fairness and Housing. And we need a director of housing who's committed to strengthening and improving public housing, not letting it run down. And just like, if I can just make one more point, there is the complaints office of the Department of Families, Fairness and Housing, they've told me quite frankly they are under-resourced. And if you ring up and ask, you know, what's happening with my complaint, it's been 6 weeks now, do you know what they tell you to do, Jacob? They tell you to go straight to the Ombudsman. Well, I just thought that was pretty funny, you know.
Anyway, Kerry, we got a fun, we're sort of running a bit of time because we're cutting into when we're scheduled to have a next interview, but we still have a bit of time to have, I guess, one last kind of question. And I guess, you know, how can people, you obviously as a public housing activist, you've been involved in a whole range of campaigns, and I guess, can you tell us how people can, you know, support, like if there's any sort of public housing campaigns or groups to get involved in, and or any sort of final thoughts that you'd like to add?
Yes, okay, so basically the Save Public Housing Collective has a website. You can get some useful information from that. There's a number of different public housing Facebook pages. There's one specifically for tenants, which is a group called Public Tenants Victoria, I think. And so if you just Google Public Housing Victoria put it into a Facebook search, a number of different pages will come up. And also, if you keep listening to 3CR, there were some campaigns about the very serious issues at Richmond and Collingwood, because, you know, the government wants to build over the Collingwood car park, and they want to build 800 units at Richmond, which is just outrageous. The estate's already congested. So there have been some actions around that which have been reported on 3CR. So I'd advise people to just keep listening. And my final thought is public housing here to stay. Greedy developers, go away.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Kerry. I think this has definitely been a very informative discussion, and yeah, we definitely need to have more having more discussions about public housing and housing on our program. So, yeah.
Great.
Thank you very much, Kerry.
Thanks very much, Jacob. Bye for now.
All right. We were just talking to Kerry Bryans, who is a public housing activist, and, you know, and I'm talking about the current, I guess, some of the current developments in the public housing kind of arena and why we need to fight for more public housing and against the kind of negligence that happens by our governments. All right, well, I'm going to play a quick announcement, and then we'll go transition to our next interview. You're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM.